Welcome to Crosstalk with Novell, discussions on the future of research and navigating the current restraints imparted by social distancing in your research, patient, and student interactions. I'm Anna Zach with Novell, and with me today is Dr. Seiko Bass. Seiko is a human movement scientist, and he works as an associate professor, principal investigator, and as a head of the Human Performance Laboratory at the Academic Medical Center's Department of Rehabilitation in Amsterdam. Seiko completed his doctoral dissertation on the structural and functional aspects of the neuropathic diabetic foot. In his current work at the AMC in Amsterdam, he divides his time with leading the Human Performance Laboratory and coordinating and supervising research mostly focused on lower extremity biomechanics and injury prevention in diabetes and neuromuscular populations. Please enjoy this conversation with Seiko. He's got a lot of great insight, and we're excited to have him. Well, to kick us off here, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what the past few months have been like for you in the Netherlands and sort of how your work was impacted?
Of course, the COVID-19 pandemic has also affected the Netherlands quite a bit. We've been in lockdown since mid-March through to beginning of June. And then we came out of the lockdown and sort of step by step, we're allowed to do things more and more. I was sort of lucky that I had finished just before the lockdown a couple of large projects, research projects that I was doing in terms of data collection on patients and some of the data analysis that had to be done by the PhD students here in the hospital. So we were mainly writing papers from home and doing some final analyses. So for my part, I was working from home mainly on supervising PhD students with their manuscripts. And also taking the time myself to work on manuscripts that I was planning to do already for quite a long time, but didn't get to because of time constraints. So for me, actually, the lockdown opened up quite some opportunities to work on things that I hadn't been able to work on for quite a while. And because I like manuscript writing, is one of the nicest things to do, In my view in research. So that was, I took advantage of that and had quite a good time. And since I can work well from home, I was also quite efficient and effective.
Nice. So that works out well with the timing, definitely.
Yeah.
What has been one of your favorite changes that you've made in the last few months? Just maybe an unexpected benefit or something that's emerged that's been kind of nice.
What was also positive is that more on the personal level, when we came out of lockdown, it sort of I got into contact with my friends much more than actually before the pandemic started. So we started to contact each other more and see each other more in a you know, physically. Maybe because of, you know, being in a lockdown for a couple of months, but that was nice that we, you know, we see each other like a few times a week. So, that's quite nice to experience. And I've taken the time to watch a lot of documentaries on Netflix and YouTube. So I've learned a lot the last few months.
Definitely. That seems to be one of the things that everybody has said. Have there been any articles or books or documentaries even that have been impactful or really informative or even just that you really enjoyed?
Well, I've read, of course, a lot of articles coming from my PhD students. So that was worthwhile that was informative and good to work on. I've been following discussions on the COVID-19 pandemic and then mainly on how this is going to change our life sort of permanently, if that's going to happen, and if so, how. Mm-hmm. Because I'm quite interested by the sort of enforced natural experiment imposed on us, where, you know, you see a lot of people that are forced to work from home, and you see a lot of effects, for example, in normal viruses being less incident because of the social distancing and things like that. So, you know, it's definitely imposed on us in terms of our behavior, and I'm quite interested to see if that's going to endure when this is going to be over, if of course it's going to be over. But those are discussions and articles that I like to follow, and I also have an opinion on myself, but that's going to be interesting to see. And I hope that, you know, some of the things in our life are going to change permanently because we've learned from this natural experiment.
Right, absolutely. So when you think about research and things like data collection, and how COVID-19 has impacted that and may in the future, what do you think will change, and what will people need to prioritize when it comes to developing new research ideas and how they conduct that research?
The sort of positive part, I think, about this, you know, being in this situation is that we do have more time now to overthink our research ideas. Mm. And sometimes that's very important. We are such in a rush on getting all the daily things done in our research, where sometimes what is needed is just some good time and people to discuss what you're doing, to overthink your ideas, to think about new ideas, maybe some new avenues or other research tracks that you've been thinking about for quite a while but haven't been able to overthink too much yet. And so that would be quite interesting to use the time that is now available to think about those things. And when it comes to my own research, which is mainly on lower extremity biomechanics in diabetic foot disease, I think because of the changing environment with the pandemic, I think we are going to focus more in clinical care, but therefore also in research, on how to support the patient at home. So with people staying at home much longer and much more, I think we're going to see a development towards tools and systems that we can support patients in their care more at home. And I've actually been doing a couple of projects in this area in the last few years. So we've been developing an offloading shoe for patients to offload their feet specifically for use indoors, because we see from research that patients are quite active at home, and more active than they are outside of the home, but they are low in adherence to wearing their custom-made footwear. So we've been developing a special shoe for indoor use and hope to see that increases the adherence of these patients. So that's something interesting for the home environment. And we've also been just finishing a trial on the use of temperature monitoring of the feet in the patient's home to see if that helps in reducing the risk of foot ulceration in diabetic foot disease. So these are projects, I think, that are associate with a change that may come with this pandemic, that we're focusing more on how we can help patients in their own house.
Absolutely. That's really interesting. How did you choose your current research track, and what sort of influenced you?
Well, I started this at the end of my master's study for human movement science that I did here in Amsterdam. And I wrote a thesis on this topic of diabetic foot disease and the biomechanics of that. And then I went for 2 years to Penn State University and the Center for Locomotion Studies, where I was visiting researcher, and I did a lot of research on diabetic foot disease and the biomechanics of it. So that was very nice. And that was with Peter Kavanagh, who was a very well-known professor in human biomechanics. in running biomechanics, but also on diabetic foot disease. And I was very interested in that topic because it's a nice combination of biomechanical and neurological and vascular aspects that sort of come together and determine the problem, the foot problem that these patients have. And in particular, the biomechanics is very important when it comes to preventing these foot complications in diabetes patients, but also in solving the problems. So I feel that with my background, I can, I have enough to do and can contribute to increasing the knowledge and to solving this problem. So that was that's sort of my research track and has influenced me quite a bit. And well, mainly the work that Peter Kavanagh did and when I worked with him at Penn State University, that sort of inspired me and influenced me quite a bit for the years. A lot for the years after that. And we've been working together ever since until he retired from his work. So that was a very nice experience.
Final question as we wrap up here. Before we started recording, you pointed out that you have the Nobel Best Presentation and Best Poster Awards right behind you. So we wanted to ask, do you remember what your first ESM meeting was?
Yes, I do remember that. That was in 2004 that I went to ESM when it was organized in Leeds in England. And it was a very nice conference because I saw very nice presentations, and I was also I also presented myself, and I sort of got to know many people that I still am sort of friends with and see a lot at conferences at this moment. So that was the sort of the start of my ESM career, and I've been to all ESM meetings, I believe, ever since. So. It's a great meeting, and it's a lovely place to be in contact with each other and present. It's always in the summer, so it's most of the time a nice weather, and we do wonderful activities. So, I hope it gets organized soon again.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Hopefully, we'll be able to have you back again soon. Well, thanks so much for talking to us, Seiko. We really appreciate your time and your insight.